Amazon.
All right, I guess the tape is back on, so we're going to start up for the second half of today's Circuit Commission meeting. And the first thing we have before us is the...
Taking some of your stuff, I don't know.
The meeting agenda and the minutes. Well, let's look at the agenda first, if you wouldn't mind just perusing it and seeing if it meets your approval. If so, I'd entertain a motion.
Motion to approve agenda.
Motion approved. Is there a second?
Second.
Approved and second. Any discussion?
Go ahead. There might be a couple additional items under commission business. I'll just note that related to the grant and designated the chair to approve RFPs and contracts. We could potentially handle that under one of the existing items if you like.
Okay, and so we'll make note of that, and Chris will remind us as we get to new business to add that. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion passes. We have agenda before us. We also have the minutes that looks like some of us are currently reading. And take that home with you as well. But if there's a motion to approve, they look pretty thick. When you're ready, we'll do that.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to move to approve the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion passes. We have the minutes approved and before us as well. So let's move on to commission business. The first thing we're going to do is take a look at the budget. Mark Anderson and Chris to my right are going to walk us through it.
Sure. In your packet there is a proposed fiscal year 2013 budget. There's a change in a couple of the line items that was requested after the marketing work group discussed some additional things they wanted to do. I don't know, Chris, if you want to talk about specifically what that is.
Sure. I can just tell you it's a legal size sheet, so I apologize for that being a little messy. But if you unfold it, you have the fiscal 13 current budget as it stands, as it was submitted to LCC. That includes the base allocation for the year plus carryover that came from last fiscal year. It also shows you what's been spent and what's remaining to date. And then there's a fiscal year 13 proposed column. And that's a proposed change to line items based on some requests coming forward from the marketing committee, which you'll be hearing a little more about later. Also looking at past spending, needs for some other projects such as the Visual Resource Protection Plan, and some possible flexibility to help us cover costs of the Corridor Management Plan grant while we figure out how the matching funds will flow. The Marketing Committee will be talking with you about a reprint of the Map and Travel Planner and also purchasing of additional lapel pins, Great River Road lapel pins. And so those costs are reflected here in the proposed budget. It also shows you what was spent in fiscal years 11 and 12 and gives you some notes down the right as to what is really included in each item. And you are not held to line items throughout the year. You're held to the bottom line. It's a spending guideline in general. I don't know if Greg would add more about that, but tried to adjust it for you based on some of the requests that have come forward and things that are happening right now.
So specifically, the changes that are being requested is an increase of $4,000 in the printing and advertising budget. That's the third item down. That money would be coming from the in-state travel budget. That's about two-thirds of the way down. $1,500 would come from the in-state budget, and $2,500 would come from the out-of-state budget. So that's where the money's coming from and where it would be going. I'm not certain whether we need a motion to approve this change or not.
Carol?
Where are the annual meetings, the two meetings for the national issue? Iowa and...
The semi-annual meeting, there will be a semi-annual meeting coming up in the spring of 2013. That'll be in Bettendorf, Iowa. And there is money here remaining for out-of-state travel that would provide for that. And then fall of 2013, I'm not sure on that one, but that would be the next fiscal year budget.
In answer to your question, Mark, I think we can just entertain a motion to accept the operating budget that's before us, and that would be included in that.
Motion to accept the changes in the operating budget.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Just for the in-state travel now, is that, looks like it's beefed up considerably. Is that with the corridor management planning in mind?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, we may or may not see that come to be needed. We do have some funding in the grant also, but need to see how that actually works out.
Okay. But not in here.
And
that's,
here,
that's
too.
That's not in here.
That's the grant considered part. Here, too. The grant is not shown here.
Yes,
correct.
Okay.
This is just the operating
Very good.
Budget.
Further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of did you move to approve the entire budget or just the change?
I moved to approve the changes because I think we already have the budget approved, don't we?
Okay. I think you're correct. Motion to approve the changes. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes and very good. Thank you. Thank you, Treasurer Mark, for reviewing that with us.
And I'll just make a reminder here that budget might be a time to discuss designation of the chair to approve RFPs and contracts if you'd like to discuss.
Yes. Can you want to say a little bit more about that or what?
Sure. Just as we move forward with the CMP grant and with other things, there will need to be a mechanism to have the RFPs approved before they're released and also to have contracts entered into when decisions are made. And so I think that LCC would like to have us designate that. I know that's been done in the past, but it's been a while since the chair was designated to take those actions on behalf of the commission. So that, you know, if we don't have a meeting right at the time that would need to happen, the chair would be authorized to sign off on those things on your behalf, if you would like to do that.
So we need a motion to authorize the chair to sign the needed documents to move forward on the RFP. Is that essentially what it is?
To RFPs and contracts.
And contracts.
Mm-hmm. I would make that motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded to authorize the chair to sign necessary authorizations or RFP and related contracts. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
And one more
Motion
thing.
Motion passes.
If there would be members interested in helping review RFPs before they go out, you could let us know, and we would be happy to get you the information to look at with the chair and with LCC. Just let us know.
All right. Very good. The second item under commission business has to do with the best practices for travel and reimbursement request forms. And this is a procedure that's consistent from commission to commission. We just want to make sure that everyone understands the game plan in that respect. One, you need to formally request if you're going to be requesting travel, and there's some forms that have been included in information you've been provided to make those requests. And then if you would simply, as a way of confirmation that you attended it, say a few words on your post-travel, just a brief what you gained from it or who you met with, a summary of what occurred. And again, kind of the best practices for commission procedure on these kinds of things. In terms of advance notice, if you give, you know, like a week or something like that, or as soon as possible, the better. And email, I know Carl has emailed me in the past, and that can be sufficient, too, both for request and for me to sign off on approval. So Any questions about that? Again, it's pretty straightforward.
Will we get these electronically then?
I'll send them out to you.
And when are they? When would you like us to start using these?
Now.
As soon as we get them.
So, yep, from receipt forward.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mr. Chair, just to clarify, this is not for a commission meeting, right? Or is that a for?
No, it wouldn't be for a commission meeting. It'd be for meetings outside.
Other travel.
Yep. Okay. Good question. Any other questions? All right. If not, let's move on to the National Parkway Commission updates. The next conference call for the entire national board is going to be in December, and I'll be on the line for that one. And Carl served as our proxy down in Louisville. And Carl, do you want to say a little bit about that?
Well, every state was there except Louisiana was not in attendance. And we had some very interesting presentations. The one I felt most interesting was a gentleman presented on mobile apps for scenic byways.
Barzee?
Barzee, yeah. And they're proposing, he is, to the National Scenic Byway, I think an app for $10,000 would be like $2,000 per state. And it's on the cloud, so it's adaptable at all, you know, so as things change, you can just keep adapting it. So I thought that was really good. Carol, you want to,
Well, other things that, other speakers, there was a very good presentation from Kentucky Adventure Travel, and they correlated, they looked at the need for economic development based on trail use, because a lot of it was in place, and then also being developed. But they also linked it very closely to an epidemic of obesity. They started out with a lot of CDC stats and just showed how nationally, but particularly in Kentucky, because that was their focus area, it's over 30% of Kentuckians are obese, which is startling. And so they felt that they were able to then generate both reduced health costs, better community cohesiveness, happier people, as well as economic development from tourism, and even from within their communities. That they were talking about in a couple of different towns where they had significantly grown, like from 0 to 6 bike shops and outfitters for outdoor trail adventure. They had increase in restaurants, overnight accommodations, and other businesses that otherwise, you know, as you mentioned, some of those towns are really struggling. The river tends to be very rural, particularly in the south, but we've got the same situation, many regions of the river here, and that they felt that this active tourism, particularly focusing on trail use, was a win-win-win for them. So that was a really helpful presentation as well, yeah. Very factual.
Yeah.
The 3-year strategic plan was introduced. We also heard from Gary Jensen from FHA, Federal Highway Administration, on the changes in the national legislation that could impact scenic, that will impact scenic byways. Carol also was involved with that presentation. I had lined up Adil Ahmed from University of Minnesota Extension to talk about Google mapping for community assets and attractions, so we introduced that concept. Another really neat initiative we heard about was from on the Mississippi River Towns and Cities Initiative, which is a association, coalition of mayors of river cities all along the 10 states. And it's, you know, from towns of 200 up to, you know, millions. So there's no fee at this time. So one of the things I thought that we commissioners, well, I'd love to have Dave Kleissen from St. Paul, who's the vice chair of that,
St. Cloud.
Mm-hmm. Or St. Cloud, is the vice chair of that group, and
talk to us at ideally our next meeting. And then I think it'd be good for us regional commissioners to encourage our mayors to become a part of that group. So I've already talked to Baxter's mayor, and I'm to set up a meeting with he and the Brainerd mayor meet together occasionally. So he hadn't heard anything about it yet. So
it's only about a year old.
Yeah, very new. So could be another good partner for us.
Good idea.
Their executive director made the presentation, and he felt that there was a lot of alignment in outcomes, so that we should get together. And so we can, you know, utilize that membership too with the corridor management plan as we're convening people. Maybe that's a good reason. And one of the things that I didn't mention, because the slides somehow didn't end up in the presentation, but was that while we have budgeted for and originally planned for 18 community meetings, three per destination area, is there something to think about before we finalize the RFP? Is do we really want to convene maybe a statewide meeting of mayors and legislators? I don't know if the legislators get together on a river basis, but that we could get and business leaders and the rest, just kind of have we don't have a lot of money, but or maybe, as David was saying, there's the site managers get together a couple times a year, that we can pick some existing meetings that we can then feature our efforts there to kind of think more globally.
And I'll send around my packet, which has information on a lot of those sessions that were done, the mobile app, the Kentucky Adventure Tour. there was also a presentation by the foundation. I think we're at about $20,000 in endowment right now. There's a Kentucky guide and a few other things. So that's all in the left-hand packet I'll send around.
What was your sense of the health of the Penn State Commission as a body?
Varied.
Varied?
Oh, you mean the Penn State Commission?
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty good. About the same as I've seen it over the 4 or 5 years I've been going. I haven't seen a great change, I guess. What do you think, Carol?
I think that there could be, the 75th anniversary has great opportunity to leverage both, communication, PR for the commission itself and the work of it, so that people are aware of it. And then also of the river travel and the economic and other benefits that the Great River Road and Mississippi Resource Adventures provide. So I think that, it's in a good position right now. As Carl mentioned, some it is varied. Some states, Louisiana and Missouri, when I first came on, were some of the leaders. They're through attrition at the state agency level, people are just wearing a lot of hats, and it's become just a part of what they do rather than a focus of what they do. But there are other, like Illinois is doing great. They just got a city highway grant to put over 300 bike racks along the Great River Road. They got over $8 million, the Great River Road in 10 states got over $8 million in scenic byway grants this last round, which is the last round of that. There was emphasis from the Transportation Committee. I'll give my update on that. There was a recommendation to the Board of Directors that they utilize the information that Gary Jensen from FHWA, myself, and then the district engineer representing Kentucky, Jim LePeter, we presented to encourage the Parkway Commission nationally and individual states to work with their DOT and other county and local road agencies to better understand the opportunities under the new transportation bill, because we no longer have a scenic byway grant program. So it's part of the Transportation Alternatives Program, which used to be Transportation Enhancements. But there are other opportunities within each of the, depending on what we're working on, all of the programming, for instance, can support bicycle and pedestrian infrastructure.
And just one thing that I heard with the 75th in our discussion when we had Lynn and Susan come in to the agritourism group was,
you know, we just don't have the capacity as an organization to make too big a splash, I mean, about this. But what we talked about was trying to work with our local partners, our CVBs, et cetera. And as they're having events, river events, that, you know, that we try and get them to talk about the 75th anniversary of the Great River Road and, you know, as well. But, to, you know, there was talk at one time about having one day, and we just felt that would be really tough, you know, the amount of work. We just, the staffing that we have, you know, we don't pay them enough to be able to take on a huge initiative like that in 10 states, so.
Good, thanks. Chris, what do you have on?
A few other things. The Iowa Great River Road developing a new CMP was helpful for me to hear about, and they shared information on their stakeholder meetings, and so we have that detail. They've also provided us with a copy of their RFP that they used to secure services, so that's a nice thing that will be helpful for us, I think. The Winona County History Center, and Sharon might talk about this, but they are going to be designated as a new National Great River Road Interpretive Center. They did apply for that designation and have been approved. It's just waiting for final board approval, so that's exciting. And we have an award winner in our midst. Carl Samp was awarded the National MRPC Distinguished Service Award for the 10 states.
That's quite an honor. Congratulations, Carl.
Thank you. Thank you for the nomination.
Yeah.
Great work with everybody.
I deserved it.
The only other thing we had with the Cultural and Heritage Committee is they had a grant for some interpretive banners to be put at the Interpretive Center because of it's kind of cost prohibitive to keep changing the metal signs that they have at each. And so we had to approve the layout of those banners, and what I kind of headed up to get changed is they had that little code that you use off of phones, I don't know if you are, QR codes, and it was like this huge part of the banner, and I got them to switch that off to an eagle instead because those codes aren't being as used as folks had thought they were going to be used, and so everyone was unanimous on changing that. So, and then there was also a good talk on the second day, Diana Threadgood, with the partnerships that she's doing in Tennessee. She's just a dynamo, and all the partners she's working with, and a bridge that they're restoring, a historic bridge in that area. And it was real uplifting to hear what she was doing down there.
Good. Thanks for the reports, everyone, for attending. Anybody else have any questions or anything they want to add to the... That was the annual meeting down in Louisville, right? And that was in September.
End of April. It was the end of April.
September.
September, I mean, yeah. Time drags when you're not having fun, I guess.
Next on the agenda is Tasty Traditions Contest. Chris, what do we know?
Yeah, and just a reminder to all of you, the National MRPC Great River Road is promoting a Tasty Traditions Contest via Facebook, so they are looking for people to submit information on local food items, restaurants, recipes, traditions, anything you'd like to upload, and then enter a contest with cash prizes. And so none of us are eligible to enter the contest as Parkway Commission members or affiliates, but we want to encourage all the local communities to get their stuff up because all of those entries are shown. And you can find that at the national website, experiencemississippiriver.com. And there's a link to the contest. You can upload things, so share that with folks out there that you think should have their information featured. People will see it, and I think the last time I checked, Wisconsin and Louisiana had the most information up there, so we just can't sit by and watch that happen. We have to get some help on that.
Okay. Good. Old business update, visual resource protection plan. We've kind of gone over a little bit of that.
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered that. If anyone has any questions, you know, I would encourage you again to, and this is something that Parkway Commissioners can participate in, go to the website and we'll send out the announce the official announcement once we receive that from the National Park Service to nominate your favorite views. If you can include pictures that you can upload. So if you're out and about and you see your favorite view, take a picture of it and upload that. People can comment on them too, and some of the initial ones had had a couple of comments that, yeah, you're right, this is a beautiful view, my favorite, you should see it in, you know, the morning when the fog is coming off and other things like that. So
it sounds like Chris is going to email us the link to that.
That's correct. And then again in the spring we'll have a leaf off in April and then a leaf on in June assessment opportunity that we would encourage the Parkway Commissioners to, you know, better understand. I think just the technology particularly, you know, in like, you know, if you want to come up and do it so that then when it comes to your region, when we do the statewide, you'd understand the terminology and the forms and such process.
Good. Thanks, Carol. Sharon, you've been working on a couple of difficult projects down there in your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit?
Frac
sand mining and CapEx?
I did a meeting for the local Ikes group, and the frac sand mining is... there isn't a day that goes by that I don't get an email or there's not something in a local paper about what's going on with the concerns over the frac sand mining. And I had forwarded an email from Kristen Tollefson Edie from the Frontenac area. And for the environmental study, the issues have been health, and her concern is that I think the economic impact should be included, and she wanted to get our help in how that could be done to address those factors besides just the health issues that go along with that. The CapEx has recently had some environmental local regional meetings. Rochester, I wasn't able to attend, but they had a couple meetings in the area, so there's still concerns with that, with the environmental impact on the CapEx. But did I get that right, Chris, as far as she approached me after the Ikes meeting, and that's a big concern is the...
Yeah, I brought a copy. I can read it to you. She was asking for a focus that if there is a GEIS developed or authorized, socioeconomic impacts should be included in that. And she's saying that they need data and maps documenting the contributions, value, and assets of the Great River Road economies. And what can the commission and its agency technical support staff provide? So they're looking for some help in that local Bluffs area on information and data. And then I was asked to check with the state EQB, Environmental Quality Board, is that correct, mm-hmm. on status of their review. They would be the ones to, and forgive me if this is not the correct language, authorize or request the GEIS. Is that the right way to say it, Frank? Or they
would
be the ones to do that?
Yeah, they would be the one, yeah, requiring it.
So I did check with their executive director on that and invited him to today's meeting. He was not able to join us, but did let us know that after hearing quite a bit of testimony at meetings, the board asked agencies to pull together information on what we know and don't know about impacts of frac sand and silica sand mining, including socioeconomic issues. So he is working on that, is what he's saying, and that the next EQB meeting is on December 19th. At which we expect to have further discussion, and to please let them know if you have further questions. So if there's anything that you'd like sent in reply, I could do that for you, but that's the information that we
received. I think some of the other parts of the country, like in North Dakota and in those areas, have seen what has happened with the mining coming in as far as crime levels, lack of housing, that sort of thing, and I think those are the kind of issues that she's looking for.
Now, the Parkway Commission wrote a letter, mm-hmm. and then I provided testimony encouraging that the intrinsic qualities be considered in any assessment that might occur. But the Parkway Commission got more specific about wanting to work directly with any assessment. So does that, I mean, you might want to consider asking how specifically the Parkway Commission is working, or maybe ask who at the different agencies. We have five agencies on the commission, who are the leaders in those agencies, so that they can be aware that the commission is has specific concerns that you know, written down in a letter. It's a pretty brief letter, but it was pretty informative. I'm just thinking for follow-up, because I have not been asked. Scott, have you been asked at all?
No.
And, you know, and Frank, were you previously? I mean, kind of this happened after.
The question is, just before I retired, I attended the inaugural meeting of an interagency, State of Minnesota Interagency FRAXAN Task Force. Jason Alcott was going to continue in that. Is he doing so, and do you have any information out of that?
I haven't seen any contact reports. Or
okay.
Jason hasn't mentioned anything, but Deb Moynihan, me, I can talk to Deb.
Okay.
Or Jason and or?
Is there anything else that we could provide Kristen or her local partners? I know we had maps for CapEx that went out showing the CapEx route and the intrinsic qualities of the Great River Road. I mean, would that be helpful to them? We could certainly share that as we did when CapEx was going on. I mean, it's not exactly the same with the route, you know, included. But
was it possible that if you meet with Jason and Deb that... you know, I could be there and show you what we did provide,
sure.
Looking at alignment impacts. We could do similar work just so that they're probably not familiar with the intrinsic qualities.
But
good point.
In regarding the effects on the Great River Road by FRAXAN in general or specific FRAXAN, what a generic EIS is going to look at is not necessarily the site-specific impacts, so that if there is a proposal to mine sand in an area that is immediately adjacent to the Great River Road or within the viewshed of the Great River Road, that's probably not what a GIS is going to take care of. That is, however, going to be probably the most direct impact to the Great River Road itself, would just like, well, CapEx is running along, it's affecting the view shed, and that is what its specific EIS is going to be evaluating. The generic EIS and FRAXAN would not be doing that. It may bring up in general that presence of the Great River Road and the potential impacts to its intrinsic values is something that will need to be evaluated on an individual site proposal. And that's probably all a generic impact statement is going to do. It may also cover, however, how much truck traffic a potential expansion of FRAXAN mining might do. That is an issue which could affect Great River Road, because in southeastern Minnesota, Highway 61 is Great River Road. It's the principal arterial. It's the main truck route, so an awful lot of that truck traffic will end up there. We have to be very careful how we deal with that, because we chose to put the Great River Road on a principal arterial truck route, and there are trucks on there now. So if we say trucks are bad for the Great River Road, the answer will come back, why'd you put the Great River Road on a route that is the main trekking route for southeastern Minnesota? So it's a...
I got a feeling FRAXAN will probably come up at the next legislative session. You think that? I got a feeling we're going to...
One interesting thing at the 10th state meeting, because Wisconsin raised it, because they're really struggling, because they don't have moratoriums like most of Minnesota's southeast area has put in place but are expiring. And it came out that Arkansas actually is having the frack drilling going on. Illinois, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota are having the sand deposits mined and processed and transported. So it's actually, and that was just of the people that were at the meeting were aware of those things. So it...
Mississippi has fracking going on, so.
So it's.
So they're not. They don't feel quite the same way down there, you know, as the northern states. Right. So they see it as a real benefit to the economy down there.
But the other thing that was interesting too is that the resources, the deposits, reach well away from the river valley itself. And so, as Cordelia was saying earlier, you know, a job is not a job is not a job. You know, that if, for instance, a job might, or an industry might have impacts on the tourism industry or the health of the river and those industries that are related to that, is that something that, you know, I mean, that are those things that the GIS would look at? Or GEIS?
GEIS.
GEIS.
No?
I don't. The sandstone deposits of which that silica dioxide is mined are extensive across all of these states. It's a huge deposit, so depletion of the resource is not an issue. What is an issue is where's the most economical place to mine. That's how these mines are going to get sited. And there's two factors involved with that, one of which, how far down is that St. Peter sandstone that they're mining? And given that the Mississippi is already cut down through, the St. Peter is exposed on the river bluffs. So you don't have to take off overburden. You can just start mining back. That's one thing. The other issue is they have to get the frac sand off of trucks and into barges or rail cars, probably within 30 to 40 miles of the mine, because then the economics of how much does it cost you to truck the sand before you can ship it more economically. And so the rail lines and the barge lines, of course, are centered on the river corridor. And so that tends to bring the siting decisions for frac sand in closer to the river.
For example, they're talking about 200 trucks a day in Wabasha if they approve that railroad method of the trucks.
A terminal in Wabasha to load it on rail cars.
200 trucks a day.
Yeah.
So, and the recent thing they raised at the local, they've been having community meetings, and was property values was a new thing. One of the local realtors was asking for information on any data that's out there on what happens to the property values once you had a fracking operation in your area. And he broadcasted that out to the Realty Association and was asking them, because it's a real concern.
Anything else, Sharon?
So if, you know, if anybody has any ideas for Kristen, how we can possibly get maybe the issue added when they do the survey, she thought with the technical advisors that we have that there might be some ideas. Because she's kind of run aground where she's at, trying to get anything added. And now Senator Powell wasn't reelected in our area, so I'm sure he'll do what he can till he's done of his term, but there's a new person
right there.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure in your legislature next year it's going to be a hot issue with all these communities that are being affected. So.
All right. Well, thanks, Sharon. Next item had to do with, I think Liz Dalton had a update that's in your packet on the Mississippi River Trail. You can just read that at your leisure, but some things went on with the MRT that Liz Walton from MnDOT has updated us on. Some interesting items there. But again, take a look at it. If you have any questions about any of that stuff.
Anybody have anything to add to these particular notes? You have anything, Chris?
Just noticed, though, that Bemidji was designated as a bike-friendly community, which kind of received some publicity, I think, and is
they
a good
were.
Thing. They were. Mm-hmm. Great thing for the region.
All right. Well, let's move on to no other questions on that. On to new business and the marketing work group projects. Any recommendations coming from that? Sharon, I guess that might be you again.
We have the minutes from the meeting in here, my work group conference notes.
Oh, there they are, okay.
That folks can look over, and I guess from that, Chris, we need approval for some expenditures.
Mm-hmm. And that was included in the budget that you reviewed, but the group was recommending a reprint of the current map and travel planner. We have almost none left. It's this one, the one that we send out to all of our distribution sites and use for meetings, and we do get requests for them. And also it would be a useful piece during the CMP public outreach process. So the team talked about that. I don't know what you'd add, those of you who were on the call, but we have maybe 300 left, and we continue to get requests that we can't fulfill. And we do have budget available. It's a piece people look to us for.
How many years does that thing last when we do a printing like that?
Last printing was spring of 2011. And so
I'm just wondering if it makes any sense to put the 75th anniversary.
That was what the committee discussed, putting the 75th anniversary on the cover to designate it as a new update. And I did send an email out to all of our distribution sites, the CVBs, state parks, interpretive centers, et cetera, asking how many, if they would want more and how many they might want. And so we have good response coming in on that. And, you know, one site in the past received 500 in our last shipment. They want 2,500 this time. So, you know, we are making a transition to mobile devices and different information, but there are still people and sites who want these maps. And I think for the corridor management planning outreach, it's important, too. People do want those, it seems. So we'd make very minimal revisions only to correct outdated information and put that 75th anniversary
and add
on the cover.
History Center.
Yes, and add the new Interpretive Center, absolutely. So we talked about the last printing, it tells you in the notes, I believe, how many that was, 20,000. And based on responses that have come in so far, we'd be up to 24.5 if we went with that, what people are telling us that they would want. And then it would be a matter of deciding how many you want for the CMP work and public outreach. So we would need to put this out on RFP to gather printing prices for a reprint. And as Sharon said, would likely need approval to do so. There are also some other requests for lapel pins, so I don't know if you'd want to consider those jointly, Sharon, or... talk about that.
The lapel pins, like you see on folks, are real popular, and there's only 120 left. And so we discussed getting those reordered, and Chris got one bid so far that was actually cheaper than what we had paid before, so that was a good thing. Mm-hmm. So I think they could be put together for recommendation for approval.
Okay. So it would be a reprint of the map and travel planner with quantities to be determined based on response from our distribution sites and needs for the CMP process. And lapel pins, we were looking at quantities of 1,000, 1,500, or 2,000 for pricing. And the initial quote that I got came in at under a dollar a piece. They were $1.40-something last time. So we'll need to get multiple quotes and such, but... at least we know we're in the ballpark. And again, that funding is available in the budget that you looked at and approved.
Where do you have these made?
Those were printed by a company called Colors
Here?
Marketing in the Twin Cities. And so we'll put it out on RFP and determine who.
And the pins, too, are made local.
Mm-hmm. Actually, the pins, the quote that we got, would be coming from overseas. These are maps are printed locally. The pin quotes, they would be shipped in from somewhere else.
Could
on the first quote that
could
I got.
I request that you look for a local company to make both?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
One of the other things, Chris got the deadline in for submitting. I was very impressed with our video project. I get a lot of good feedback on that project, and so she got the paperwork in for a possible tourism award for that. Then we covered our marketing grants, what we had left, and one of them had to do with group travel. And so, Chris, you want to talk about...
Sure. And so the day, probably as we were meeting on the conference call, information came out from Explore Minnesota Tourism on their group travel efforts coming up with the American Bus Association, and Cheryl can fill in much more than I can on this, but looking for partners to participate in that Minnesota presence at a group travel show in January. And so it was an opportunity to fulfill that item in the grant to do a group travel promotion item. And you could serve as a co-sponsor for $500 and get a two-page spread in their publication, logos posted at the booth as well. And as it would happen to be, the theme for the entire piece this year is the 75th anniversary of the Great River Road, and it'll be the cover. And so Cheryl could talk a little bit more about that, but the consensus of the work group via email was to go forward with that. It met a requirement of the grant. It also was a great partnership opportunity with one of our state agencies and aligned so well with what's happening there that it just was almost
the deadline was fast approaching,
meant to be.
So it was like,
yep, the deadline for copy was this past Monday, so that was submitted. We needed to have that information that was pretty much well packaged and ready to go. So the text will feature the 75th anniversary of the Great River Road and some background, and then our list of National Great River Road Interpretive Centers in Minnesota and promoting those. And Cheryl, what else would you say about that?
Yep, I mean, it's great. This is the premier, the biggest group travel show on the North American continent. It it rotates to different cities every year. It will be in Charlotte, North Carolina. But it's a great opportunity. Minnesota has established a presence at this show already with a sponsorship. We have about 40 Minnesota tourism businesses that go and meet one-on-one with tour operators during the trade show part of it. It's a pre-scheduled appointment process. But before and after and during appointments, there's a marketplace floor where different states or cities have presentations, and they do whatever they want to feature. And Minnesota, for several years ago, got the great idea that we would fry Spam on this floor. And trust me, Spam is the biggest draw of that whole convention. We also serve like wild rice salad and salted nut rolls and lefse. So
nice.
We have the real Minnesota thing going, but Spam is the real highlight. And anyway, what happens is so many of the tour planners in their breaks or when they have a free appointment, they'll come over. We do more business out of this booth than we do in the appointments because it's such a chatting point anyway. And people are just absolutely intrigued and very interested in Minnesota and where the various products we're serving. It's kind of the Taste of Minnesota theme. And this year it is so opportune and so perfect. I'm thrilled that this group has elected to be a part of this. A book is produced that looks kind of like, this is one when every year there's a different theme. We had a sporting theme the year that the new University of Minnesota Gopher Stadium was opened. And so that was kind of the theme that year, and we always have in here descriptions of our various partners, and this year we had everyone submitted a favorite recipe for Minnesota, so quite a fun thing. This also always ties in with our group tour planner. At the last meeting of this group, I said the Great River Road and the 75th anniversary is the highlight. This is just hot off today. We've approved the cover of what this is going to look like with the Great River Road logo on it, top and center. The cover of the book that Frank has right now with the stadium on it, it's going to be this photo with the logo. So Mississippi River, as far as Minnesota and the other Mississippi River states are certainly at this convention. I hope that we show them up and make them very jealous of how we have promoted the 75th anniversary of the Great River Road. So as I say, I think it's a really wise investment for the money. So
great, Cheryl.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, did we need a motion, Chris, on the expenditure?
Another maybe connection for the maps. Many of the sponsors in here, you'll see that they sometimes offer coupons or little things that people can claim. And there was a suggestion from Carol, actually, that we could offer our map and travel planner to group travel groups, and that would be, you know, a benefit to them. So that's what our coupon right now would say. So if we go forward with a reprint, we'd be able to do that. And if we don't, I think we could still pull that little section of copy if you didn't decide to do that. But that is a plan that's out there right now. So, yes, we would need a motion on the maps and the pins, if you like.
And it would be the motion to issue an RFP?
To do a reprint of the maps and purchase additional lapel pins.
All right, somebody want to make a motion to that effect then?
So moved.
Second.
Been moved in second to issue a reprint of the maps, Great River Road maps, and lapel pins as deemed necessary. Any discussion?
I also have the note about local vendors.
Thanks. Hearing none, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes.
Very good. Is it part of that motion? Is it understood the earlier motion that the chair can approve RFPs and contracts on behalf of the commission? Is that part of this as well?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Thanks for that clarification. Carol, you wanted to brainstorm a little bit.
Yes, I did.
Okay, go ahead. Brainstorm.
This is about all of you. But that we have, you know, an opportunity. If you look at the end, you know, the second bottom of the second page of the marketing work group notes, we do, as mentioned before, we have the 75th anniversary coming up at the first of the year. And that this group is always full of great ideas, but we can't do everything. So we kind of threw a few ideas out there. You know, what 75s can we promote, I guess? You know, Carl had mentioned one day doesn't quite do it. And it's best if we can leverage what's already out there, but frame it within this Mississippi River context. So 75 state park activities, 75 MHS site activities, 75 restaurants, 75 geocaches. You know, an idea that we also that came out was there was PAM, the Preservation Alliance of Minnesota, had a e-newsletter that described a multi-site event that they had where they taught people how to clean tombstones and other, you know, things within cemeteries to do some cemetery maintenance. And so it might work. I know Arkansas said they might be interested in doing something like that, but just kind of to get out on a day, it would coordinate. I had Tony look at, try to find out where are all the cemeteries in Minnesota along the river, and there actually is some information that we would have to glean through to identify exactly where that is. But, I mean, so that's like an unusual event, but and certainly it's not organized yet, so it wouldn't require that, but you know, from the different agencies and different regions, and we get a 75 runs in the year. I mean, there's got to be that many. You know, there's a dreidel one coming up in the next weekend. The dreidel dash, that's what it is, yes. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we could, you know, just coordinate and contact people and say, can we promote you as one of 75?
We have 75 microbreweries?
I would hope so.
Or microbrews, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're talking, huh?
And I think we should sample them all.
We could have us, the river-wide tasting. So, I mean, there are lots of ideas.
Like 75 famous folks from Minnesota would be interesting.
Along the river.
Okay, I'm just going to throw out an idea on the 75th because, I think this is a wonderful opportunity to draw attention to the river, to draw attention to the Great River Road, and to draw attention to this group and what everyone here has many more years than me been involved in doing. And I think, I mean, all the 75s are fun and great, do that, but you really need to draw big media attention. And I am thinking, I mean, I was thinking in terms of the grand, whatever, what was the grand
excursion?
Grand excursion, yeah, many years ago now already, but that was a big media event. And I'm thinking of, you know, just, again, it would be so great to do events all along the river. I mean, it can't be done in one day, but I was thinking if we could convince Governor Dayton to do a week along the Great River Road where he would do events, community events, in you know, in each of the
what are the segments called?
Destination areas?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, just, I mean, yeah. One would be at Lake Itasca, next one would be at Grand Rapids, the one, next one would be at Brainerd, next one would be at Elk River, next one would be at Hastings, or however it works out. But that each of the commissioners would greet the governor, that there would be a big, certainly tourism community event. I'm also thinking, though, it's perhaps we could divide it up because there are five, it would be 5 days, and I know this would be a huge commitment of the governor's time. Perhaps he would kick it off and the lieutenant governor could follow up with some, but whatever, however that works out. But if we would also highlight the areas that impact the river, and I don't know how it would be, perhaps Lake Itasca would be the tourism focus, perhaps Grand Rapids would be the natural resources focus. So each of the agencies, and i.e. the commissioners from those agencies, would be involved on that day. So it's kind of, you know, again, a celebration of the river, but attention, and to have a press conference in each location with, i.e., that commissioner, drawing in the economic importance of the river for all of this, the job creation, whatever the current buzzwords are. But to, again, have something that will attract media. Perhaps, I mean, I can see probably the kickoff for the Twin Cities would certainly be the big metro TV stations, but it would also be a great opportunity for the newspapers, the dailies in the various other parts of the state. And, again, I know this is a lot of work and all of that, but I think to do anything, do it with a big pizzazz bang and get as many people involved as possible. So, I mean, that's just...
I like that, Cheryl, because I was involved with the sesquicentennial celebration in Minnesota when the governor went around to five capitals. It was capital for a day.
That's
we did
right.
Five different
yeah.
capitals. And in each of those communities, we had a town hall forum, too, that kind of did a little brainstorming for the community about, you know, in our case, it could be how do you... I like the river, or it could be part of our CMP project, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really great idea.
That is cool. That's awesome. So,
Sheldon, you and the Gov. Right?
And your director, Mike.
I would think as well as trying to do something substantive, you know, the town halls or CMP, you got to do a good photo op. So you would think one's got to be the governor in a canoe,
yes.
Another one's got to be on a bike, you know.
Right.
Kayak.
Right, whatever.
I mean, I can't speak right now for tourism. I mean, I just thought of this right here, right now, so it's not, I don't have the approval, but we do have our regional managers who perhaps if each of them would take a segment, and if I don't know if I can get the endorsement from, that I wouldn't be doing it at my office, but.
That's a great, I really like that.
I do too.
I can deliver Al Lindner.
That'd be out of Brainerd.
Well, that's what I was thinking. The fishing opener is actually in Park Rapids in 2013. There's only and right up to Bemidji to the headwaters would be very cool to start that. But it is May, and the legislature presumably will still be in session.
Oh, this should be a summary event,
yeah. I'm thinking more like the first week of June before school gets out and the real vacation season starts. That would be.
Is there any specific date of when, you know, Congress passed something?
That's what I was wondering, too.
It must be that.
Is it April?
Yeah, good.
That's a national office.
Marty would have it, too, I bet. Marty would have that somewhere with all his historical stuff.
Yeah, I always see 1938, but not the date, but it must be somewhere.
Something.
Yeah.
I'm looking it up.
Well, that would be great. That would be good. And towards the end of that, you know, by June or July 1, we shall have completed the historic wayside restorations. So we could possibly do ribbon cutting or something to celebrate that accomplishment as well.
Senator Franken's also, you know, running for re-election now. I bet he'd be very interested if we wanted to hand off duties at some point.
Yeah.
give you another.
That's awesome.
Big draw.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah. That's probably even better to perhaps have Governor Dayton kick it off at Itasca, but then to have our senators be at various other cities or events.
Mm-hmm. Back in 1995, the Great Minnesota Greenup Initiative, I remember the State Fair Board, or they agreed to designate and declare one of the days of the fair is the Great Minnesota Greenup Day, and there was, I think we had display space and folks handing out materials and chatting with folks, kind of pretty close, to, I think in conjunction with one side of the DNR building. But it was a good opportunity to talk to a lot of folks and get a lot of folks exposed to the range of that and get some additional media attention and to play off that in terms of ways you could have opportunities for kids or other folks to navigate around the fair and return it and again, just, so that might be an opportunity too, just with the Minnesota focus. Because I think there are a lot of folks who don't really make the connection. They obviously know we've got a Mississippi River, but they don't connect with the Great River Road and all the other kind of amenities and connections and linkages.
State Fair is a great idea. So did you help organize that? Did you work through the State Fair Board?
Or? Actually, what happened at the time, the Minnesota Earth Day Network, which had a lot of volunteer agency folks, actually kind of solicited the transportation commissioner at the time, Jim Den, and Skip Humphrey, and who was the Aveda guy?
Rush.
To be co-chairs of the initiative and put together kind of a another oversight panel, so it just kind of all fell into place with some of that visibility.
That's a great idea. Well, I know that for the Visual Resource Protection Plan, the LEAF on, they still have to coordinate, Susan Overson still needs to coordinate to make sure she's not double booking their volunteer coordinator. But we're thinking of actually doing it on the weekend before Earth Week, starting that Visual Resource Protection Plan to wrap it in with that kind of activity as well, or that theme. So that's Earth Day is another good idea.
Excellent. Well, I think there might be some opportunity through Paul Labovitz and the National Park Service to get some mileage. Because having kind of served on their development advisory board for a number of years in the past, I know that the Midwest region doesn't always get the most attention or compete as favorably with some of the other areas in the country, but I know when the collaboration towards the alternative transportation plan and some of those opportunities, when they heard about that at that level, it kind of became sort of favorite kind of poster child kind of opportunities and initiatives. So I think maybe there's some merit and possibility to get some extra attention just because of that context.
Excellent. So what next? Is this assigned to a committee, or are there a couple of you who would like to talk with Cheryl more to flesh out some options on that kind of effort and what it would entail, or are there certain 75s that you want to compile lists of, or do we have any kind of
direction, because as Sheldon leaned over and said to me, is this 2015? No, it's 2013, like, you know, a month from now. So it is coming up quickly, and whatever you decide you might want to pursue would need some relatively quick follow-up. So, and maybe communication with National MRPC as well, to see if other states could or are already doing something similar.
Did you have any ideas on that, Carol, when you brought it up?
Well, if someone else can take the lead on this, that would be great.
Right.
Because I still have to deliver these four historic restorations and the CMP.
Right.
But, you know, I just think that we've got a lot of great ideas. They need to be fleshed out. And certainly, you know, if we are to have the week and have gubernatorial and state agency leads, I mean, I think it's a win-win. It's just a matter of scheduling it and seeing when they're available.
Mm-hmm. It's a big job for a volunteer organization.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just pull it out.
The week out.
Well, there are different levels of big, too. I mean,
can we one way that, you know, as far as I think that the listing of 75 activities could go into like a calendar format. You know, on the website, that we could have people promote that, and that maybe, you know, soliciting from our community members, tell us if, you know, if we narrow the list to, you know, themes, are they bike rides, runs, festivals, you know, and just getting 75 of them and brews, microbreweries.
Events, I think it'd be. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was Mark's idea. But, you know, that those, you know, we have, looking at the information that we already have, is, for instance, we have the Explore, or the Grown in Minnesota. We already have that database. We could put, you know, 75 farmers markets to enjoy. And we have some of this already, but for the event type stuff, which is kind of a nice celebration. I don't know, for instance, though, if that, you know, you need to think, is it, I think it would be cumbersome if there would require a Parkway Commission presence. Is it enough, and that's something for you guys to consider. Is that required, or is it that it's in a river community, is that sufficient? And certainly we want to have fun too, but
how about a proclamation, too? I mean,
yeah, that's a good
idea. A day or a week or.
From us or from the governor's office?
Governor's office.
That'd be better than us. Mm-hmm. That's a good idea.
Maybe folks could get back to the marketing committee, yay or nay, what they think would be good themes, what we think we could actually do, say, by a certain date. What do you think, Chris?
Well, some of the things, like the list of 75, you could really be putting those up throughout the year. So that seems a little less time dependent to me, but a big event would need to be rolled out. We'd need to know that sooner.
Cheryl, can you work with Chris to flesh out the opportunity?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Let me, yeah, I'll see, again, I can't commit other people in my office, obviously,
right.
But let me just talk at our office and see what would be possible to pull together here.
Okay.
And I know all of our regional managers are going to be in the office on December 13th. I mean, I hate to even push it 2 weeks because time is of the essence here. And I'm just thinking on the 75 events or 75 whatever's here, restaurants, whatever, we have all that information in our tourism database. That's
okay.
Why I'm just not too excited about that, because if you want a list of restaurants anywhere or list of events or
right.
List of runs, go to exploreminnesota.com. It's
pretty
easy.
It might be fun if it could work is to make it interactive with the public that they submit stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we've got
their favorite 75 things.
We've got that Tasty Traditions contest. I mean, maybe we could just publicize that and to say that we're aiming for 75. You know, nominate. In Minnesota, we want 75 nominations. Those people will then be listed. I mean, because there are obviously hundreds and hundreds of restaurants, but
that would have to be like right now. I believe that closes in January.
Oh, does it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we could sure do it, but it would have to be quick.
Yeah, and Chris, I'm thinking, I mean, I'm going to put that in our tourism e-newsletter that goes out every 2 weeks, and it goes to approximately 7,500 names of all of the tourism businesses, all the people who could certainly submit stuff there. So hopefully, again, it's like, but getting people to react, that was always hard.
Right.
Even though it's so simple. I was on that today, actually, just looking it over to see what it was or how complicated. Mm-hmm. It's easy.
Pretty straightforward.
Oh, yeah, it's very easy.
Okay.
And it's fun. You can see
I wasn't allowed to put mine, but hey.
I know. It's like the description of what it was and then who couldn't participate was...
Well, the kids are always a great...
That
expands out and out. I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, sort of a contest that maybe gets schools engaged too, whether it's photo contest or story, you know, or photos, stories about, poster. And again, maybe there's the opportunity that there's a lot of winners, and maybe they get displayed at the State Fair Day or during the Governor's Proclamation.
All right. Well, I think that's probably as far as we're going to...
So we'll keep it.
Yep, because I'll just give you a call next week.
Okay.
Agency and regional updates. Let's take a look at those, John.
Well, first thing that's real exciting is that the closing on Mississippi Northwoods is occurring almost at once. There'll be a celebration on Monday. That's going to be a nice accomplishment up in our area. It's a spectacular piece of land. You almost have to see it to understand. It's 2 some miles on the river. And that's been a long accomplishment. Thank you, folks in the legislature, for working our way through that, because I know it was a very complicated 11-some point million. The next work after this will actually be to figure out how to turn that land into something more than just a piece of preserved land and be an area where active recreation is going to be invented, and we've got some ideas, but there's a lot of work to do that. It's probably a treasure for the next 100 years is where it's going to be fully appreciated. Along that line, we had on October 6th one of the Mississippi gatherings. These are a series of gatherings of people to talk about river issues together, sponsored by the Trust for Public Land, Nature Conservancy Initiative Foundation, and the Headwaters Board is very active in that. So we had one at Crosby, and Carol presented on this project, the corridor management plan, but we also had another of our commissioners, Paul Labovitz, speak with a panel that included Doug Shaw from the Nature Conservancy and a couple other river-oriented people that talked about impactful projects on the river that went beyond just protecting the river. They had a lot to do with the economic development, the branding, the growth and stability of a region, how river development projects really had substance. That was the message. And all presenters had prepared their presentation separately, and they were very impressive of how they kept covering the same points of how they did. Doug Shaw's talk was about protection of the headwaters of the Everglades, and the other three stories had to do with the Minnesota, the St. Croix, and the Mississippi. And again, it just was so encouraging because we are now beginning to get what we've all talked about, the evidence that the value of the river for its natural beauty and its iconic brand power it's got real numbers. We probably haven't put those numbers together like they need to be to go forward, but it's starting to happen. And now all along the state of Minnesota, I'm encouraged. I just saw news that Grand Rapids is now starting a project to look at river, and I think I'm going to be going up to a meeting in a week or so along those lines. But between Bemidji, Grand Rapids, what we've done at Cuyuna, Brainerd, St. Cloud, all the way down. It's very impressive. It's all happening now within Winchogee, just the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. So these kinds of meetings that we've been having are bringing more people together to see the broader range of it. And so it's encouraging. In my little area, we added adventure recreation through mountain biking. We had this year we went from 15,000 mountain bikers the first year to 25,000, and it continues to grow, and it's got a national reputation. One of our trails was just named the top five in the world. So we had an international mountain bike summit in Arizona. They named one trail in our DNR park as one of the best in the world, one in Switzerland, one in Germany, two, three in the United States.
That's the one we were at.
Yeah. So, I mean, that stuff's just growing, and I think that one of the things I would say that we need to also promote, and I asked Carl here for that Kentucky booklet, how they've branded the river as adventure and active recreation. I think we can talk about its natural beauty, we can talk about its culture, but you can see how effective by doing it as adventure and exploration is an adventure in of itself. So I think that they were starting to build some products here along the river. I just heard about now on a different river, Granite Falls is looking at taking out a dam and turning their river back naturally so they could have kayaking and stuff along there. So, I mean, I think it's happening not just in Mississippi but in Minnesota generally to be able to really step up and get some of that out west brand that's been so powerful. They've used, obviously, skiing and kayaking and rafting, but we have our own share of real solid national destination adventure here. So those are the things that are going on in my area, and it's really been fun to be a part of it.
Thanks, John. Carl, how about you?
Yep. Well, I just want to echo what John said. You know, the Brainerd Baxter Group is working now to come up with a plan, and I think what I'm really hoping is as we do our corridor management plan and have the public meetings for that we'll both be able to use that information in our plans. So, visited a historic barn south of Little Falls, basically just about a mile and a half out of Royalton, called the McDougall Barn, built in 1877, I believe. And it's on the National Historic Registry, so got that put on our agritourism map for our national one, and there's some real interest in doing some creating a science, living science area there. So kind of working with some local folks on that, and we get some of our, they're not here today, but some of our DNR folks and other history folks together to kind of work with that local group, I think it'd really help. And as John said, Celebration Monday in Brainerd for the Northwoods Project. And not a lot else. Zero wild rice this year on the river. Just got drowned out. Uh-huh. So.
Mm-hmm. Nice, Carl. Try
out of stock.
Just to add on a positive note, a couple of the Queens came up the river. They hadn't been on the river since 2007, so it was really exciting. I happened to be driving one day, and it looked like the old days with the Amtrak and cars, and then you saw the river boat on the river. It was real exciting. They couldn't go as far as Hastings, so Red Wing was really excited that they got a captive audience for these ships that came up. So that was some real positive when it was doom and gloom that we were never going to see him again. So,
is there anything scheduled for 2013 for the queen, for one of the queens to come up? Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if there is tying that governor's 75th anniversary. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about a photo up? Have the the Delta Queen or whatever docking in St. Paul.
I know when Jimmy Carter was running for president, he did one of the Queens, so that was a big deal down in my area that people got to meet and greet him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they always do a fall schedule. They're coming up to St. Paul in late September, October. It's the fall color part of the river. So, Which isn't necessarily bad. I mean,
well, you know, that open as an option.
Yeah.
And does the going back to the brainstorming, if we're going to do six events, it doesn't all have to be in 1 week.
That's
it could be spread out over the summer.
I was just going to say the same thing. And if we've got the governor's opener, fishing opener in, you know, in Park Rapids on, you know, maybe we
work with Park Rapids
with Katie up there and, you know.
Run up to Itasca?
Yeah. Try and get something
and sort of bookend the beginning and the end of the season.
They should guide them on that task. All right, Carolyn or Frank, what do we want to do it?
I'll let Carol. I'm kind of out of the loop at the moment.
Well, the final four historic restorations have been advertised. They're on the street right now. Bids will be opened December 14th. And so they'll be constructed hopefully by July 1. We'll be done with those projects. As follow-up to the Camp Ripley Historic Restoration Project, I've been working with SHPO to apply some context-sensitive solutions to a security fence project that the camp has on the boards and was going to take out all the historic evergreens, but it's going to be much more sensitively done at this time. We've met twice with the camp commander and about 10 of their staff each time. Marianne Heidemann and I went up there the last time, and So that was really helpful. The alternative transportation plan, we're working with the National Park Service to finalize phase two of that. The visual resource protection plan, again, you've heard a lot about that. Other activities that I've been involved with, and Scott as well, is the transportation alternatives, which in the new MAP 21 transportation bill, we've gone from almost 30 different funding programs, of which National Scenic Byways Grants was one, down to six. And so they now call that transportation alternatives. And the work that we're doing is to make sure that the process and the eligibility is maintained for those activities. The law specifies it, but then the state DOTs have a lot of discretion as well as how they're going to administer that. So that's been work, and Holly Slagle has been at the table to make sure that scenic byways in general are represented. We have received the final versions of the interpretive panel projects for two out of four of the counties, so I just need to sit down and review those and then do any red lines that we need so we can get those sent off to get fabricated and installed. And the locations where they will be going is the Itasca, the Mary Gibbs Center right at the headwaters, right after the group travel drop-off. Another one is at the Sand Prairie Wildlife Management Area in St. Cloud. It's where we actually moved the St. Cloud Historic Marker onto that property. Okay. So that's partly mitigation, but helps us get this project installed as well. And then Dakota County will be including it in actually one of the historic restoration projects at the just off the parking lot that leads, the trail then leads to the Sibley Pioneer Church Memorial in Mendota. So that'll be the Dakota County one. So we will, by the end of this, have each of the destination areas will have a set of six. And then during the corridor management plan, we'll relook at the remaining text and make sure that they're confirm the validity and do any revising. And then eventually we'll need to find some funding to fabricate, further develop and then fabricate the remaining. But we right now we've got content for all 21 counties. And that's about it.
That's quite a bit. Thank you, Carol. Cordelia had to leave early and asked that I pass out some information on the Minneapolis Riverfront Forum, where they're looking at what they're going to do above the falls for their plans. And if you have an inkling or interest in going, you're more than welcome. She'd love to have you provide some feedback. And St. Paul's always got things going on, too, and I got a couple bonding bills I'm going to be offering here to do a Great River Passage, which is St. Paul's plan to limit the Mississippi River.
But with that, I'm going to turn over to Cheryl. You've said a little bit already today. What else do you have?
Yeah, well, just a note, if anyone is interested, our state tourism conference is going to be February 12th and 13th. It will be in Minneapolis this year at the Hilton. So, again, a great opportunity for a lot of networking and a lot of activity going on there. We are, the website is continually new, updated, et cetera, et cetera. So check it out, exploreminnesota.com. You'll be amazed at, I guess, the changes and the more, it becomes ever more user-friendly and ever more, just, you can plan your individual travel on that site so easily. So that is what a lot of our time and effort has been focused right now on, just the whole electronic marketing. And hopefully, in our office anyway, we're trying to move away from the printed publications because so many people are seeking information online, and particularly not on their laptops but on their cell phones. Yep. So it's just, again, just the way of the world, and we're struggling ever to keep up with that and to make our information very accessible and easy to use. So that has been it. And yeah, that... And, well, I know if Adam were here from St. Paul, Adam Johnson, he would say they are thrilled in St. Paul. In January, the Red Bull Crashed Ice event will be returning. And yeah, so again, much fun for all. And I think we might see every hockey player in the country perhaps start competing this year. It's good. They have nothing else to do. So,
Governor was a goalie, wasn't he?
Mayor Coleman did it. Yeah. Much to the chagrin of his family.
David, yep. What do you got?
We're also trying to move away from paper, but we're not completely there. one piece of follow-up from last time when I mentioned the not on the Mississippi River, but adjacent, and some learning lessons. The scenic byway, the Minnesota River Scenic Byway cell phone tour. There's some information in the back of this brochure about 1862 and the 1862 cell phone store. So you don't have to be in the byway. You can call from your desk or your car or whatever. So we may want to do a demo of this sometime at a future meeting and talk about. I can bring some of the folks who have worked on that to talk about the lessons that they've learned in putting that together. So paper to tell you about the technology. this brochure, again, off topic a little bit about our own work, but since this is the year for 1862, there's an exhibit at the History Center, but this brochure gives you a good primer on what happened that year. And then next, again, we're automated for legacy grant programs, but we also have the paper version. We're seeing some scenic byways come in to apply for grants, for planning grants and whatnot. So the legacy grants that we administer need to be history related, of course, because that's what the appropriation is for. But obviously, most of the scenic byways, and the scenic byway obviously has lots of history involved. So just FYI to pass around to your neighbors and constituents. We're at the end of the biennial cycle for grants. We have one more round of small grants, which are up to $7,000. We did the large grants for both years of the biennium. Those are all gone. But then if everything goes well with the legislative process, we'll have some more money to grant out in the next biennium.
Thank you, David. We're fortunate to have one of the leaders of the state here, Len Price. Len's going to say a few words about whatever he wants to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And it's nothing personal, but I have to be at the Capitol at 4 o'clock.
That's an inspiring introduction. I'm Len Price. I'm the Executive Director of Conservation Corps Minnesota and Iowa. And I know quite a few of you around this table, but there are some folks I've never met before. I decided to monitor this commission meeting today because I was going once before and I had a conflict, and I thought I'd just like to find out what the commission's up to. First of all, I'd like to say this is really exciting about the celebration. I'm a river kid. I grew up in St. Paul Park, so my youth is spent on Lakeland Island and the backwaters of the Mississippi. The crews that we have in our organization have done a lot of work on all of Minnesota's rivers. The brochure I passed out is our annual report from a year ago. We don't have our new one together. But we have been able to explore these young people to lots of experiences on all of our streams and waterways. We initiated a program last year in the Minnesota River Valley with the doing a lot of work around Redwood Falls on county parks. And you don't have to take a kid from Minneapolis and St. Paul and put them out on the prairie, and that part of the world is a real eye-opener for them. So it's really nice to be able to be involved with an organization that can provide opportunities for young people like that. I could go on at length, but I have a couple of things to suggest to you. I regularly monitor LCCMR and Wilderness Inquiry, who you know about, they're the people with the big canoes. They are in the proposal for approval by the legislature to do an extensive amount of exposure of young people to canoeing and river in one of their projects. And it's one of the places here is here in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and the others in St. Cloud. So maybe they would be another good contact for you to engage in this celebration.
That's Greg.
Greg Leas, I'm sure, would be open to discussions about that, and maybe they could offer their canoes in some capacity.
They have 75 of them?
Sorry?
They have 75 of them?
Yeah. Seat 75.
They helped us when we celebrated the 75th anniversary of the Civilian Conservation Corps with an event in Phelan Park. And I'll tell you, those canoes that were never still the whole time that we were there that Sunday, people just were enamored with this experience to get in them and paddle around through Lake Phelan. So, you know, this might be something for you to think about. The other thing is our organization has as a requirement for our core members to do volunteer work. And this may be an opportunity for them to assist in some capacity in these communities or with your commission work to actually help, you know, whatever. I can't commit to anything because I don't know what it is, but that's an option. And it's a win-win because it exposes them to another capacity. We have a lot of youth in our programs in the summer. And so this would be something that I would like to be kept informed about so we could maybe arrange this volunteer time for these youngsters.
And you go over the state, not just
we're located with crews all over the state of Minnesota. The other thing is, this next year is the 80th anniversary of the establishment of the Civilian Conservation Corps. And we are planning an event for either the 14th of September or the 28th of September. We're going to have it at the Department of Natural Resource Building and the State Fair. And we're going to make this a big celebration because we still have CC's here is alive. Obviously, we, in a less than egotistical way, consider ourselves the great-grandchildren of this organization because we're trying to carry on the same spirit. So maybe there's a connection that we can make to do that as well. It would be really exciting. And, of course, Itasca was one of the places where the CCCers did a tremendous amount of work. There's an absolutely marvelous display in the visitor center at Itasca about the Civilian Conservation Corps, its work, its legacy, and then connection to our contemporary core. Another idea, maybe there could be something that could be connected there. Our crews, we've had for two seasons, maybe three, special river crews that take care of snags in canoe routes. And they've been in Itasca two or three times this year because of the storms. And, you know, that could be a connection as well. But we do lots of river work and our shoreline restoration work with our crews too. So there's a history of conservation corps along the river. I know there's a site near Lake Pepin, south of Lake City, that I think, still has a structure there. And there may be others. I'm not all that familiar. And our crew, we do have an operation in Iowa, but your parameters are Minnesota. So this has really got me juiced up. I was really sitting here thinking, I'll observe my friends in a meeting, but this is kind of good stuff. So let us know how we can be engaged. And we also have done work with scenic byways in the state, and we'd be happy to continue to do that. And I would be remiss as the executive director in my responsibilities if I didn't say to you, if your organizations or affiliations are looking for young people to do work, we are happy to sit down and talk. Ms. Zoff and I have talked about this before, and she laid it right on the line. She said, you get a stonemason, we'll put your crews to work at sites. And we were never able to produce a stonemason. But there's a lot of things that our young people can do. And so we're always looking for partnerships and collaborations. We're in the process of establishing a second year of work with the Minneapolis Park Board, where youngsters are engaged there. We've had 4 years of after-school and Saturday work for St. Paul youth with the St. Paul Parks and Recreation. We have a great relationship with DNR and Parks and Trails. We do lots of different things, and it's, like I said, a win-win. It's good for the youngsters and the young people, and it's also good for the resources and what they can bring to the quality of life in our state. And Sheldon, you're just a wonderful, I'm sorry, Representative Johnson, you're just a wonderful fellow to say that I'm a leader here, because I've been unplugged from the legislature for a long time. But I just gave a speech to a group of young people about careers, and I turned 70 in September, so I feel like the guy with the long gray beard and the long teeth, you know, who's supposed to share wisdom. So I feel a little frisky today. So thank you for the nice invitation and overture to speak.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'll say we did get two of your program managers or team leaders up to Camp Ripley when we did the 3-day training for the dry stack.
Yes.
Masonry.
They enjoyed it tremendously.
It was hot, but good work.
Yeah.
In hot days.
Well, if there's no other business before the board, we are adjourned, and thank you, everyone, for coming.
Thank you.
For logistics of this, of our transition, I actually wouldn't mind waiting until January to say if it was...